my shield, my Jesus is real. And I can feel it deeper within my soul. And
one day,
save my soul,
and he made me free and whole.
And my Lord is real.
I can feel him in my soul.
Well, come to Jesus,
repent, get your feet on solid rock.
He's the one
who can help you,
hear you when you cry.
Yes, it's Jesus.
He's my Savior,
he's my friend and faithful God.
My Lord
is real,
Israel.
He will lead you to the other side.
My rock,
my shield, my Jesus is real.
And I can feel him
deep within my soul.
And one day,
you save my soul,
and he made me
free and whole.
And my Lord is real,
I can feel him in my soul.
And
my Lord is real, I can feel him in my soul.
Thank you, young man. That was great. As we read the Ten Commandments, we noticed that, again, all of them were put there by God, given by God. It was God himself that spoke in Exodus chapter 20 to Moses. And he told these commandments to Moses so that he would give them to God's people, to the Israelites back then, but to us today. And we noticed that the Tenth Commandment, though it's the Tenth Commandment, is last, yet not least. Amen? Now, what does it mean when the Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, and so forth? What does this word coveting mean? Coveting means, if you will, that desire that we have to possess something, that desire that we have to have something, that desire that comes from our hearts that makes us want more, to possess more, to obtain more. It's the love of having. It could really be anything. If you think about it, coveting can be directed towards anyone or anything. It could be money, it could be clothes, it could be power, it could be position, it could be a raise, it could be something, it could be someone, it could be really anything. I want you to look in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, please. Look in your Bible to the New Testament, Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15, please. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Here Jesus is speaking to the people in Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. Luke chapter 12, verse number 15. The Bible says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of what? Covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Jesus right here said to the people, he said, listen, beware of covetousness. And so I want to speak to you that on this subject this afternoon. Beware of covetousness. Lord, thank you again for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, again for putting us together. Now, Lord, please give me wisdom. Help me to say everything I should. Help me to not say what I shouldn't. And, Lord, help me to, again, make these truths clear. Lord, we pray that all of us would just look at our hearts and just examine ourselves and make sure, Lord, that covetousness is not starting to grip our hearts. And Lord, may we be people that beware of covetousness and even hate covetousness and flee from covetousness. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. This afternoon, what are the warning signs of covetousness? When a person falls into coveting, what kind of things start to happen in their life? What are some of the things that if I see happening in my life, I could say, wait a minute, it is covetousness that's creeping into my heart and causing me to disobey God and break the 10th commandment. Let me say several things. First of all, how do we know we're becoming covetous? Number one, when we're always thinking and talking and arguing about the things of this world. When you and me start thinking and arguing and talking constantly about the things of this world, you can guarantee that covetousness has gotten into our hearts. You see, a coveter, someone that is covetous, lives on a material level. If you look at the commandment in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17, you see that. Here the Lord tells the people, he said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. This person is looking at the houses that other people live in. And God says, listen, you shouldn't be, again, just focused on where you live and what kind of house other people have. He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Again, he's saying you ought to not lust for someone else and not be inappropriate or immoral in your behavior. He says, or his manservant, nor his maidservant. Now, what does that mean? See, back then, people would have, if they were rich, many maidservants and many manservants. They'd have all kinds of butlers and bakers, and they'd have all kinds of people that would do the gardening, and they had all kinds of people that would do the cleaning for them and the cooking. And he said, listen, you see somebody with a big house, you see somebody else that maybe has a pretty wife or has a handsome husband, you see someone else that's, if you will, a little bit well-to-do, they got a lot of maids and a lot of servants around the house. He says, you ought not to be jealous. You ought not to covet what they have. These are material things. Nor his ox, nor his ass. He's talking about the animals that they would have. Back then, they lived in an agricultural society. And basically, when a person had oxen or donkeys or sheep or goats, that was like his retirement account. The bigger flocks he had, the more money he had, the more, again, he was able to sell those for. And so when a farmer got rich, he'd have a whole lot of oxen and a whole lot of donkeys and sheep and animals and fields and so forth. He said, listen, don't covet that. He says, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. You and me need to look at our life and look at the thoughts that go through our mind day to day and check ourselves to not make sure that we're not constantly thinking about material things. Could I ask you this afternoon, what kind of things do you and your mom argue about? What kind of things do you and your parents argue about? What kind of things do you and your husband or you and your wife argue about? Is it always about money? Is it always about the house or the car or what you're going to buy and what you're not going to buy? Listen, we need to judge ourselves. Have we become people that have fallen into coveting? Are we people that are constantly thinking about things and material things and thinking on the level of the world? In 1 John, number 15 of chapter 2, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, we live in the world. And sure enough, I have to have a place to sleep. I have to have a place, if you will, that I can sleep at night. I have to have food. And yes, we have to have clothes. And yes, we have to have maybe gas for the car. But let me tell you what, you and I, we live in this world, but we don't have to be all about this world. We don't have to be constantly worrying about what shoes we got on or what kind of fancy hairdo we have or how much money we could spend on certain jewelry or certain purses or certain things. We don't have to worry, always constantly worry about if we got the latest cell phone or the latest technology. Let me tell you what, if that's all you think about, if that's all you argue about, I guarantee you that you have not been aware of covetous getting in your life. If we're constantly talking about material things, listen, we've gotten down to the level where we're constantly coveting and wanting what other people have. Listen to what unbelievers talk about. What do people without God talk about? What can they talk about? All they can talk about is the world. All they can talk about is what restaurant they're going to go to or what kind of clothes they're going to buy or what kind of stuff they're going to buy at the mall or what's the next thing that they're going to have. Listen, all they can talk about is the world. And Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Beware you don't get like this where all you think about is the world. All you think about is, again, how you look and how you things you possess. I think about Lot in the Bible. Lot, the Bible says, came to Sodom. And here the Bible says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. What does that mean? The Bible says that he made his tent so that he could sit and he could kind of watch Sodom. And he was always watching what was the latest movies and what the latest music was and what was the top 10 and what was this one doing. And he was always up to the latest gossip and he was always checking out what was going on in the world. And you know what I'm talking about? That's exactly why he fell, because he was a covetous person. He always wanted to see what the world had next. He always wanted to hear what the world had to offer. He was always looking toward the world. Listen, and if we're on that level of the world constantly, there's something wrong with our spirituality. There's something wrong with our heart. We need to beware of covetousness. You see, a person who's full of covetousness, their life revolves around money and things and material possessions and property and what else they want to have and what luxuries they want to buy and physical things after physical things. A coveter's focus is on this world. A coveter is consumed with the affairs of this life. Hey, what's going on in New York? What's going on downtown Newark? Hey, what's going on in school? What are the other kids wearing? What are the other kids buying to come back to school? And it's always about earthly things. It's always about earthly treasures or earthly rewards or earthly recognition or the earthly praise of man to fit in the world. Listen, are you coveting? Is your heart drawn towards worldly things in an inordinate way more than it should be? Listen, I understand you have to have some things. I understand that we have to take care of bills if we have bills at home. But let me tell you, we don't have to be constantly burdened down and thinking about the things of this world. Amen. As Christians, we ought to have, if you will, our heart in heaven. Amen. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, yes, I'm a tent maker, and yes, that's for sure. I take care of things, and I have to have food to eat, and I have to have a place to sleep. But he says, really, I care about heaven a lot more than what's going on down here. Paul made sure covetousness did not get a hold of his heart and start dragging him around, where all he cared about was what was the latest CD and the latest different movie star. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, we read it a minute ago. He said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Too many people worried about what they possess. Too many people worried about what they have and what they're going to get. And they've just focused their eyes on the world. I like what one Christian said. He said, I don't really want anything that's not going to fit in my coffin when I die with me. And that's an excellent statement. Are you thinking and arguing and talking about the things of this world? Beware of covetousness. Beware that your heart is starting to get a hold of this covetousness, and it's just one thing after another. And let me remind you, you're never going to be happy. Number two, how can we judge ourselves? How can we make sure that we're not falling into covetousness? Number two, a coveter will overload themselves with worldly business. A person that's covetous will constantly be working. I remember one time visiting a man maybe about 2 or 3 years ago. From the minute I walked into his house, he didn't stop showing me the things he had. He showed me his basement. He showed me his garage. He showed me his car. He showed me his new washing machines. He showed me his new kitchen. He showed me his new cabinets. He showed me the new silverware. He was showing me thing after thing after thing after thing. And let me tell you what, that man was working two jobs, constantly working to pay for all this stuff he had. You think he was falling into covetousness? Let me ask every one of you, especially you adults, to judge your life. Are you constantly worried about bills and making money? And do you work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are you constantly after this and after that and one more overtime and one more extra day? Listen, you need to be careful about coveting, because coveters will overload themselves with making money so that they can buy all the things that they want to have. And most of it's bought on credit, by the way, because their eyes are bigger than their budget. And a lot of times they're just after this and after that, and they constantly are consumed with worldly business. You know, God didn't put us down here just to work day and night. He didn't put us down here just to work and make money and spend money. Listen, our Christian life is not a cycle of making money and spending money and making money and then paying it back. And then that's not what the Christian life is about. Yes, I understand that the Bible says we ought to not be slothful in business. Yes, you're right that the Bible tells us we ought to work hard and that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. Yes, every young lady ought to be a hard worker and every young man ought to be a hard worker. But let me tell you what, there's a whole lot more to life than just working and making money and gathering together material things. There's time for relationships, and there's time for dating, and there's time for building your marriage, and there's time to get close to your parents, and there's time to pray, and there ought to be time to read your Bible, and time to go to church, and there ought to be time, again, to rest even. It's important that we understand that life is not just about business all the time. In Matthew chapter 13, there's a parable. We call it the parable of the sower. A parable in the Bible is when Jesus wants to give us a physical illustration, something that we can understand, something that we could see, and he's trying to teach us about things that we can't see, things that are maybe spiritual or things in heaven, things that we can't see right now. And what Jesus did is he gave a story about a man that had seed. It was good seed, and he went and he started putting the seed on different kinds of soils. And he went on the hard ground, and the seed just lay there, and the birds picked it up. Then he put it on some ground that, again, was very thin soil, but it was rocky underneath, and the plant just sprung up real quick. And then he threw the seed down over here on some soil, and it started growing real nice. But then the thorns came, and the weeds came and choked it out. And then he threw some seed on the good ground, and that plant grew, and it grew 30 and 60-fold. It became fruitful, and it was just a very productive area. And then Jesus went back around. He says, let me teach you what each of these soils represent. You see the hard ground where you throw the seed, it doesn't go in, the birds come and pick it up. He said, that's how some people's hearts are, hard as a rock. You tell them something, they laugh at you, they mock at you. It doesn't get into their hearts at all. He said, and then there's other people, the ground is real thin. And what happens is when the seed hits the ground, it's moist enough where the seed sprouts and the little leaves come up, but there's no root going down. He says, some people, they'll be real agreeable. You talk to them about the gospel, you talk to them about the Bible, and they'll shake their head, and they'll say, yes, I agree, I'm a Christian. But really, they're not a Christian, because under the ground where you can't see, there's no roots at all. It's just a little leaf coming up. It's just kind of sprouting on its own strength. But the reality is it's really not a real tree. And there's some people like that. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a born-again believer. But they're really not, because they don't have a root in themselves. He says, but then there's other people as the good ground here. The good ground, what happens is that seed goes in the ground, and that those roots go down, the plants go up, and pretty soon it's fruitful. 30 times, 40, 60 times, 100 times, and you got an apple tree out of one little seed. Some people are like that. But he said, there's a third type of soil. And Jesus said, he that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. See, there's some people that start to grow and they start to be fruitful. Man, they're starting to bear maybe 30-fold, and they're starting to produce fruit. And boy, it's a wonderful tree. But that word, that means choke. It means to be crowded out. It means to be pushed down. It means to be crushed. These plants are growing, and the vineyard is growing, and it's starting to become productive, but the weeds are allowed to grow too, and the thorns are allowed to grow too, and pretty soon the thorns start growing on top of the vine, and pretty soon the weeds are starting to pull all the moisture away from the vine, and the weeds are covering the vine, and all of a sudden you have a situation where a vine that was fruitful now is being crowded out. It's being crushed. The Bible says it's choked, and here something that used to be so good now is becoming unfruitful. Let me tell you what, that's how a lot of Christians are, because of covetousness. You know, we're brought into this world, and we grow as Christians. We want to try to be hard workers, maybe. We say that we just want to pay the bills. We want to be responsible, and we start working. And some of you young people, you need to be careful, because, listen, the devil will use that against you. You may think you're doing the right thing. You may think, hey, I'm working hard. But let me tell you what, have you had time to read your Bible today? Have you had time to read your be with your parents and time to pray? Have you had time to go to church? Listen, title with blood. Hey, your life, all it's about is making money. You have let covetousness get a hold of your heart, and it's choking your productiveness. We need to provide, yes, but we don't have to work 7 days a week. Amen. In the book of Psalms, once in a while you'll see a little word. It's called Selah, S-E-L-A-H. That means stop and just enjoy it for a while. God says, stop and just, if you will, meditate on this. Stop and just kind of rejoice. Stop and just praise God. You know, the Bible tells us that we ought to be balanced people. You know, life is about a lot of areas. The Bible tells us there ought to be Lord's days and holidays and Sabbaths, and there ought to be rejoicing, and we ought to enjoy what we have. There's an awful lot of people out there working, 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 working. And I'll tell you what, covetousness has gotten a hold of their hearts. I work for a lot of people with big houses, and I've worked with a lot of people that have tennis courts in the backyard, and they've got swimming pools. Some have swimming pools outside and inside. I've worked for people that have all kinds of stuff, beautiful furniture and expensive paintings. And many of these people, I've just met with them 2 or 3 minutes. You know why? Because they're never home. I'm in the house sometimes more than they are. At 8 o'clock in the morning, they're gone, and they're not home till 10 o'clock at night. You know what has happened? They have gotten allowed covetousness to get a hold of their heart, and all they're doing is working, 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 making money, making money, making money to buy more and to buy another car and to buy another plane or to buy another garage or to improve the house some more or to put in some other kind of little gimmick. Let me tell you what. Be careful about covetousness. Be careful. Be careful. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus was traveling through Jerusalem, and he went to the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And the Bible tells us in verse 38, now it came to pass as he went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Imagine this. Martha's over here cumbered about. Man, she's cooking and she's cleaning and she's getting everything ready. And she says, Jesus, come on, tell Mary to stop sitting at your feet. Tell her to come and help me. Tell her to come over here and work. And Jesus answered her and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. The Bible tells us Martha was cumbered about. The Bible uses that word on purpose. That's a word that means she overwhelmed herself. She bit off more than she could chew. She had 100 pans in the fire, and she was trying to do everything at the same time. And she got distracted from Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus being in your house, and she got distracted from Jesus? She got overoccupied, and pretty soon she was no longer controlling her schedule. She was no longer controlling her jobs, but her jobs were forcing her to work and work and work and work and work. She didn't have time for anything else, and Jesus rebuked her and said, listen, you've been cumbered about with all these things. Mary has chosen the better part. I wish you'd be more like Mary sometimes. Listen, you and I, we need to look at our hearts and make sure that we've not fallen into covetousness. If all we do is work and work and work and worry about what's going to happen and worry about what we have, let me tell you what, covetousness has gotten a hold of our hearts. We needed to take care of things, but not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There ought to be time for family and time for the children and time for soul winning. If you have overloaded your life with all kinds of job-related issues and you're constantly having to say to people, I can't spend time with the kids, I got to work. I can't go to church, I got to work. I have no time to be involved in any activity, I got to work, I got to work, I got to work. Check your heart, make sure covetousness has gotten in there somewhere. That's not a normal schedule. That's not a balanced schedule. There's a time to work, and there's a time to take care of the other parts of your life. Amen? Beware of covetousness. Jesus said, watch out. It's sneaky. It comes in so quietly. Beware. Before you know it, all of a sudden, it's in your life, and it's in your heart, and you're acting upon it. You don't even realize it. Check yourself this afternoon. Are you talking and arguing about the world all the time? Are you overloaded with worldly business? Number three. Are you trying to get something that's not right to get? See, a coveter gets so carried away with coveting, they stop asking God what they're really supposed to have. Now, let me say this right away. I believe that God calls everybody to have a different plan. In other words, God has a plan for every one of us that's different. You look in the Bible, there were some people that God called to be rich. There were some people like for example, I think of Job and Abraham, and I think of Jacob, and I think of some of these other people that God just blessed them, and God worked through them. But then there was other people in the Bible that God didn't call them to be rich. God called them to be poor and really have not much of anything. John the Baptist is a good example. Jesus Christ was like that. Paul was like that. I can't tell you what God's will is for your life. I do know this. It's not sinful to be rich. And I'll tell you what, it's not sinful to be poor. Whatever God has called you to do, listen, that's where God wants you to be. But I believe this, you and I ought to never pursue something against the will of God. And you and I ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and ask God, God, how do you want me to live? How do you want me to be? And what do you want me to have? We need to be careful about just going after things that are not necessarily right for us to have. You see, a person whose heart is wrapped up in coveting is motivated more by their desires and more by their lusts and more by their greed to possess than really what God says is right. You look in the Bible, the devil was like that. I mean, he was after things that wasn't his right. Amen? I mean, the devil fell from heaven because, again, he was going around trying to usurp the throne of God. And today, he has no business messing with our teenagers. He's trying to covet something that belongs to God. Amen? Amen, folks? You better listen. Hey, you look in the Bible about Adam and Eve. What were they doing? God had told them about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Were they allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Yes or no? No, they weren't. But did they want to? They said, yeah. You know, they were coveting something. God said, I don't want you to have it. But they had that greed. I want to taste it. I want to experience that. Man, I'd like to go there. I want to see what that feels like. Achan in the Bible was that way as well. In the book of Judges, again, he was out there, and he was in the book of Joshua, he was out there fighting the battle, and pretty soon he saw there some silver, and he saw some gold, and he saw some nice clothes, and he took it anyway. But listen, his greed got a hold of him. His covetousness got a hold of him because God had told him that they weren't allowed to have anything from Jericho. Look at your life. Are you pursuing something without God's permission? Do you want something that God hasn't given to you? Are you trying to obtain something that's not right? Be careful about covetousness. Number four, coveters will try to get what belongs to other people. You know, the Bible tells us to weep with them that weep and rejoice with them that rejoice. You know, some of you are maybe the same age and you see each other in school or maybe you see each other in church. What if somebody comes in with something next Sunday that's really nice? What if another girl comes in with a purse that's real nice? How do you react? Can you rejoice with that young lady and say, you know, I'm glad that your dad bought you that, or I'm glad maybe they had a job and they earned it, earned money and they paid for it? Could you honestly say, you know what, I rejoice that you have something I don't have? You young guys, maybe if one of you guys later on has some nice sneakers out there, how do you look at that young man? Do you say, man, I wish I had those sneakers? Or do you say, you know what, I'm glad you have nice sneakers. I'm still going to beat you in basketball anyway. How do you look at that? The Bible says we ought to be able to rejoice with others when they have a blessing. You and I, we ought to be able to be happy for someone when they get something that we don't get. I remember my dad when I grew up with my sister. My sister's 2 years younger than me. I remember when we grew up, my dad never felt like if he bought something for my sister, he had to buy something for me. If he did something for my sister, or he bought something for my sister, or he wanted to take her out to McDonald's or something like that, he did that, and he expected me to be okay with that. You know, and let me say this, parents, we don't have to constantly say, well, if I give $10 to my son, I have to give $10 to my other son. You know what? That's not teaching them to rejoice with them to rejoice. Now, you ought to have it be balanced overall. I don't think you should constantly do nice things for one child. Again, that's favoritism. But you know what? Once in a while, you ought to do something for one child, and the other kids ought to say, you know what? We're happy for that kid. Then you do something for another child, and the other ones ought to say, hey, I'm happy for you. Then you do something else for another child, and everybody else ought to rejoice for them. Hey, everybody gets a turn to have something special once in a while. But I remember my dad wanting to teach me, listen, just because someone else has it doesn't mean that I deserve to have it. And he was trying to get that through to my head, that just because my sister had something didn't mean that automatically I could expect the same thing. How important it is for us to judge ourselves. Listen, just because someone else has it doesn't mean that you ought to want it. Amen? Something's wrong when we can't be happy that someone else has an answer to prayer, or someone else got something good, or someone else maybe in some way got a blessing. A covetous person will always feel like if someone else has something, they deserve to have it too. Have you ever heard of people arguing about an inheritance? Mom dies, dad dies, and all of a sudden the kids are arguing about who deserves more? That's a problem, isn't it? Covetousness. How many people have heard about people, again, being unkind to one another because, again, someone else has something that they don't have? They get jealous. The Bible says they that compare themselves amongst each other are not wise. The Bible says we ought to not look at what other people have and want what they have. If somebody else has something good, if somebody else has some kind of blessing, we ought to be happy for them. If you and I can't do that, it's because covetousness has gotten into our hearts. I think of Ahab and Jezebel in the Bible. Ahab and Jezebel were rich people. They had many fields. They had a beautiful house. They had all kinds of nice gardens and vegetable fields, and they had all kinds of nice things. But close by to their house where they lived was a little guy named Naboth who had a little vineyard. And Ahab went over there one day and he saw that vineyard. He says, man, this is a nice vineyard. He says, man, I'd like to have this vineyard. And the end of it was that Ahab and Jezebel had Naboth killed so that they could, if you will, take that vineyard away from him and basically take it and be part of their property. You know what would have been much better if Ahab had seen Naboth's vineyard and said, you know, Naboth, you work hard and you've done a real good job here, and you must plant and water and you must rake everything and weed this garden and you must do all kinds of things to make this vineyard so nice. Hey, I'm happy for you that you have such a nice vineyard. What a difference that would have made in his life. He never would have become a murderer. He never would have become a man that killed an innocent man just so that he could possess his vineyard. You think of David and Bathsheba, what a horrible situation. Why? Because David compared himself to another man. He says, boy, I wish I had that man's wife. Absalom in the Bible, his dad was the king on the throne, and here Absalom wanted that throne. He says, I want to be on that throne. Just because someone else had the throne, he wanted it too. You know, we struggle way too much to try to keep up with the Joneses around here. It's like somebody said, we work day and night to get things we don't really need so we can impress a bunch of people we don't even like. So silly. We're constantly, you know, because someone else has it, I got to get it. Someone else gets sod on their grass, oh, I got to get sod on my grass. Somebody else gets a boat, oh, I got to get a bigger boat. Someone else puts a new roof on the house, oh, I got to get a roof too now. We constantly try to keep up with each other, and we're constantly jealous of what the other people have because of covetousness. I read a little article about a guy that was studying birds, and the names of the birds that he was studying were oyster catchers. It's kind of a weird name. But these are seabirds that live near the ocean, and what they do is they all congregate in one mountain to build their nests and lay their eggs. And you've probably seen pictures of that before. There's like nest after nest after nest. All the nests are close to each other, and all the birds are all in one spot. Well, oyster catchers are very, very covetous birds. What will happen is if a hen lays two eggs in her nest and she sits on her eggs, and she sees another hen lay 3 eggs, she'll go over to that hen and start pecking at that hen, trying to push her off her nest so that she could sit on the nest with the 3 eggs. If a hen lays an egg, and it's about yay big, and she sees a hen maybe 2 or 3 nests over lay an egg that's a little bit bigger, she'll go over and start a fight with that hen and try to get her off her nest so that she could sit on her egg because her egg is bigger than her egg. They were joking around with these birds, and they put a big old egg in a nest, and would you believe they all fought about it? And then these little birds were sitting on top of an egg that was bigger than them. Because they're so covetous, they just wanted to have the nest with the most eggs or the biggest eggs. So ridiculous how we are. Are you wanting something that someone else has because it's bigger or more expensive? Or maybe they bought it at some kind of a place that's a little bit more expensive than you? Be careful of covetousness. We need to beware of covetousness. Amen? Mrs. Garcia liked that joke. Number 5. How can we see covetousness in our heart? Well, if we're always talking about the world and our arguing is always on a material level, if we're constantly overloaded with worldly business, if we're trying to get things that is not right for us to have, if we try to get things just because someone else has it. Number 5, if we're trying to get things just so that we can have it. That spirit is in James chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lusts. How many times do people just say, you know, I want this, and then you ask them, why do you want this? Well, because I want it. Have you ever heard a kid say, I want it, I want it, I want it. Why do you want it? I want it, I want it, I want it. That's coveting. Why do you want it? Just because you want it. Well, what are you going to do with it? I want it. What are you going to do with it when you get it? Who cares? I want it. You like that, huh? You know, we're too self-centered. Covetousness comes from a selfish, it's all about me attitude. I want this. I want that. I want this. How important it is for us to look at ourselves. Do you want things just for yourself, or do you really want things so you could serve God with it, so that you could use it as a testimony? So that maybe you could be a blessing to your family. You know what? We need to stop having selfish motivations for what we want. Amen? I have to hasten here. Number 6, a covetous person will do what they know is wrong to do just because they want something. The Bible's full of examples of that. People doing wrong to get something. They'll lie. They'll steal. They'll cheat. They'll manipulate. These are the Delilahs of the Bible. These are the Hamans of the Bible. These are the Ananias and Sapphiras of the Bible. These people will do anything. Why? Because they want something. They'll do something wrong to get something that they want. They're motivated by coveting. Number 7, a coveter will not look to help others. Do you ever catch yourself getting to the point where you're not willing to help another person? Check your heart for covetousness. You see, if I want something, I'm not going to help you get something because I'm so busy concerned about my own wants. And the more you get, the less there is for me to have. I was reading this week about these two little animals called pack rats. And they say that a pack rat, a real pack rat, this is a rat that goes around picking up all kinds of little shiny things and rocks and pieces of glass, anything that's shiny, and they make a nest, and they make these huge nests collecting all this stuff. They say that 2 pack rats couldn't get along in 20 acres of ground. Can you imagine? A little rat can't live with another rat in the same 20 acres. You know how big 20 acres is? This whole property is not even an acre. A little rat said, you know, I want this whole 20 acres to myself. This rat could not possibly walk around 20 acres. I mean, this there was more than enough ground, but they couldn't get along, and they bit each other, and they actually ended up killing each other. Why? Because they were so greedy for what they wanted to do. Listen, you and me need to check our life. When we stop caring about other people, when we stop thinking about others getting what they need or others getting what they want, we need to check ourselves for coveting. We need to make sure that we're not like that. Is that all you think about? What you want? It's coveting. Number 8, and I'll be done. A coveter will not be content. A coveter will never be content. Listen to these statements. It is not the man who has too little that is poor, but the man who constantly wants to have more, that person is poor. Listen to this statement. Half this world is unhappy because they wish that they had the things that the other half have, other half of the world have. That's making them unhappy. Listen to the statement. The most unhappy person in the world is not the person who can't have what they want. The most unhappy person in the world is the person that got what they wanted and found out they're still not happy. Let me tell you what, coveting, be careful, be careful. Because a covetous person can never be content. If you're sitting here this afternoon and you say, preacher, I just don't feel content. I guarantee you that somewhere along the line, covetousness has gotten a hold of your heart. You're looking at what other people have. You're looking at, again, the things that other people maybe have been blessed by God with. Maybe you're looking, again, at what the world offers you. And you have gotten to the point where you just constantly are consumed with obtaining this or containing that. If it's right or wrong, doesn't matter. If it's God's will or not, doesn't matter. If it belongs to other people, doesn't matter. And listen, you and me need to check ourselves. The Bible says Jesus came to the disciples. He says, folks, he says, beware of covetousness. It's the 10th commandment. It doesn't seem like a big command. It's not like thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not commit adultery or maybe thou shalt not bear false witness. It seems so small, but what a big disaster covetousness causes. If we really checked the history of this world, I wonder how many murders and how many lies and how many thieves were motivated by coveting. I wonder if it wasn't this sin right here that caused all these other sins. And Jesus said, beware of coveting. Be careful. Because this thing can get into your heart and it'll make you waste your time, make you waste your life, constantly wanting to possess more and more and more and more. But you're going to find out you're never going to be happy because that's not what God put us down here for. God said, be content with those things that we have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Hey, whatever God chose to give to me, I did the best I could this week. I worked a certain number of hours. I gave it maybe 75% of my life to work. Okay, whatever I have now, Lord, thank you so much for what I have. And be content. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Maybe you're sitting here this afternoon. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Maybe you're sitting here this afternoon, you're still trying to get to heaven because you're doing good works or you're getting baptized. Let me tell you what, that won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get you to heaven. Only his sacrifice on the cross and his shed blood can get you to heaven when you die. If you're sitting here this afternoon, you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you slip up your hand so we can pray for you? You say, I'm not positive I'm saved. I'm not clear on salvation. Slip up your hand right where you are. I see that hand. Who else? In a few minutes, I'm going to invite you to talk to one of our folks. They'll show you in the Bible, not the Baptist way to heaven, but the Bible way to heaven. It's the greatest news you ever heard in your life. You don't have to go to church to go to heaven. You need Jesus Christ. Maybe you're sitting here and you say, preacher, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven, but I've never been baptized. I've never made it public, the Bible way, that I believe Jesus died and rose again for me. Would you slip up your hand as well? You say, I need to get baptized. I see the hand. Who else? You've accepted Jesus, but you've never been baptized. Listen, in a minute, we're going to have an invitation. I invite you to walk forward. Maybe you need to have some questions answered. Maybe you need to have a permission slip signed, whatever the case may be. But, young people, let me ask you a question. Have you checked your heart for covetousness? Have you checked? Beware of covetousness, the Bible says. Are you talking and arguing about money all the time and things? Are you overloaded with worldly business where it takes 99% of your energy? Are you trying to get things that are not even right for you to have or not clearly God's will? Do you want something just because someone else got it? Do you want something just for yourself? Are you willing to even sometimes do things that are wrong to get what you covet for? Do you care about other people having what they want? And are you content? Check your life. All of us need to check our hearts and make sure we're not breaking the 10th commandment. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you bless now this invitation. We pray, Lord, for the folks that are not sure they're going to go to heaven, Lord. Give us the privilege, please, to show them in the Bible how they can know they're going to heaven. Lord, we pray for those folks that need to get baptized and make it public. They believe that you died and were risen from the grave, Lord, after 3 days and three nights. Lord, may they take care of baptism this afternoon. And Lord, we pray all of us would be sensitive to not allow our hearts to be taken away with coveting. Lord, we don't want to be covetous people. Lord, we don't want to be self-centered and materialistic, worldly people. Lord, we want to be balanced people that do what we're supposed to do, using this world, but not, again, being part of it to the point where it gets our heart. Lord, may we be people that are wise and watch ourselves and make sure our hearts are not pulled away as Martha's heart was as she was cumbered about with much serving. Please, Lord, convict us and change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The piano will play. Listen, if God is speaking to your heart, you walk this aisle. We'll have some counselors in the front here. We have some men, some ladies that would love to talk to you about maybe a question you may have. Jesus said, beware of covetousness. Watch out. Be careful. If all you think about is things of this world, that's not how a Christian's supposed to live. If you constantly argue about material things with people, friends, family, neighbors, covetousness has gotten into your life. If you've overloaded your life with just worldly business, constantly busy, 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 busy with worldly things, maybe you work three jobs. I know some people who work job after job after job. And I want to say to myself, is that all God gave you? You're in a cycle of just working until you die and go to heaven and leave it all here? That doesn't make any sense. Covetousness has ruined your perspective on life. It's ruined your balance. Are you trying to get things that are not clearly God's will? Are you trying to get something just because someone else has gotten it? Are you after something just because you want it? Covetousness makes us do things that are even wrong to get what we want. If it's God's will, all you have to do is work hard, be balanced, and you'll have it. And if you don't have it, then it's not God's will. How many times do people get in debt, spend money on their credit cards because they just want it? Covetousness gets us in a lot of trouble. Are you willing to help others? As soon as you see yourself not, again, being concerned about others, that ought to be a warning sign. That ought to be a red flag. Hey, why am I not concerned about others having what they want? I'll tell you why. Because covetousness makes us care about what we want. That's all we think about. That's all we care about. And we become very selfish people, very self-centered. And let me ask you a question. Are you content? Contentment and covetousness are direct opposites. A person that covets cannot be content. But let me tell you what, a person that is content cannot be covetous because they're happy with what God has provided for them. They're happy with, again, what they have. And they're trying to do their best. I'm not saying that we ought not to try to do our best and keep on going forward. But contentment is an important part of enjoying what you have today. How many people are just wishing they had more and don't even stop to enjoy what they have now? Every one of us here has blessings that we ought to enjoy. We ought to, again, praise God for. Beware of covetousness. Let's guard ourselves. Let's watch ourselves. Make sure we're right. Amen. This afternoon, you have Rosa Little has accepted Christ as her Savior. This afternoon is getting baptized to make that public. Amen. That's a great decision. And we will prepare for baptism as the piano plays.
again, thank you, Lord, for the great message. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you just help us, Lord, not to covet other people's properties, Lord, and their possessions. Lord, please help us to be content, Lord, with what you have given us. And, Lord, we pray especially for Rosa, Lord. Thank you for her obedience, Lord. Thank you for the baptism that you gave us this afternoon. So, again, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you would help her and you guide her now that she has made a decision for you, Lord, and show the world, Lord, she's not ashamed to be a Christian. Lord, again, please with her, give her strength, give her wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.